All right, world on the worldwide, live on the internet through BBS Radio. Good evening. Welcome to the call, to the show, as this is a simulcast with a conference call as usual. That is how it all started, with conference calls. Right, good evening, good day, whenever you listen to this. My name is Gijs Minderhout, calling in from Magalia, California. Today is August the 8th, 2016.
Wait.
And tonight we have a special guest, Jim McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Dwayne is playing recording.
I spelled it right, but I'm saying it wrong.
Thank you very much for being here, Jim. Thank you for being here, Wynne.
I'm going
to hand the microphone to you guys.
All right. Terry, are you here?
I haven't seen Terry yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if she shows up.
Dwayne is up here.
This
hello,
Wynne. This is, you already said the date, right? August 8th.
You're playing a recording right now.
Okay. You're making it easy for me, guys. I'm on. Oh, hi.
Yes. Is this Wynne live?
This is Wynne live, yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. I was trying to set up a replay, and I kept saying, it failed. So then I was going to call in and say, maybe Harris can do it. You know. I'm on automatic pilot. It's pretty good. It's pretty good quality, huh?
Yep.
It's hard to tell the difference between that and me, right?
You mean live and recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
I was in the process of opening up the call and welcoming everybody and saying that today it is Monday, April the 2nd, 2018. So here we are, another hour call by Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona. And multiple people that joined in the last minute. Thank you all for being here. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hi, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, Don. This is Terry in Dallas.
Hello, Terry in Dallas. We welcome you.
Thank you.
Hi, Don. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Prudy. Hi, Terry. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Who else joined in? Please say a name and location. With the next call, we welcome you. Please say a name and location.
Positive greetings. Hi, from Sedona.
Welcome to the call, Raiden.
Thank you.
Hi, Susan in Virginia.
And hello, Susan. Welcome.
Is that Susan Rush?
No.
Oh, okay. No, wait. Susan Rush is in Delaware. Right?
She used to be. These days is in Virginia.
We have two Susans in Virginia?
No. Fooling you. It's April 2nd still. Yesterday didn't work. She's fooling you.
Did you guys ever hear of Mati Hari?
Yeah.
Who never heard of her?
Me.
You didn't?
Molly Holly?
Mati Hari.
Mata, I think it is.
Mata Hari. I'll bet you go Google her when I tell you about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know about her, Don, huh?
I've heard the story. I don't remember all the details, but she's a spy or something, eventually, partly. Or I don't know if she really was.
Actually, she was a woman who was a dancer. But she didn't think she looked that cute and had that good a body. So she got very successful by stripping when she danced. And this was during World War I, fairly conservative period. And then all these men wanted her. And her speciality was people in the army. She said, it would take somebody in a uniform a poor man in a uniform any day over a rich man who was a banker. Okay. So she was traveling all around having relationships with army people, and she would she didn't care when World War One broke out. She didn't care what side they were on, okay? And then eventually she got in big trouble and got executed in front of a firing squad for, you know, there was a question about whether she really was a spy or if she was just a naive woman who was just having fun. In any case.
I got that.
Yeah, I heard she was a spy.
Something special about her, and it made it sound like she was kind of set up and like a scapegoat.
Yeah, she was kind of set up. And they accused her of being responsible for 50,000 French people getting killed, you know?
Did she have a facial looks like Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart? Hmm? Wait, did Martha Stewart like servicemen?
No, I'm just saying if she looked like her.
I think Heiss likes Martha Stewart.
She was in the headline news today, Martha Stewart, a picture they found of her from like in the 70s.
Uh-huh. Okay. I am going to do a replay today, hopefully, and it's a call from a couple of years ago, and it might be the first time I did an interview with Jim McCarty, and he never came on the show until after Carla died, and then I interviewed him, and let's see if this works. Here we go. You know, yesterday, on Sunday, we had kind of an unusual call. And
this conference is being recorded.
I got a lot of emails from people really saying thank you for that call. And then I got a couple of people that, let me just say thank you, Harris, for remembering that. This is April 2nd, 2018, and we're doing a replay from August 8th, 2016, which I think is Jim McCarty, that said, why are you going into all of that stuff? Because I went into a topic and I read part of the raw material as part of that topic. And it was a very important part. And it's something that I had read years ago, but I didn't quite integrate it. I didn't really see it in action. And Jim McCarty has been a guest a number of times on our shows. And Jim is probably one of the world's experts on the raw material because he was there when it happened. And just as an introduction, just in case some of you are not aware of the raw material, I'll turn it over to Jim and let him give a little brief introduction. But let me say, Carla, it was three people, Carla Ruckert, Jim McCarty, and Don Elkins, who were having, I guess you would call it a channeling group.
Yeah.
And for 3 years, there was one of the most incredible bodies of channeled information, maybe the most incredible, that has ever been brought forth on this planet. And I became aware of the raw material because as I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I learned that David Wilcock kept referring to it, and he believed that he was channeling an aspect of the rock group. And I'm not going to say whether he was or he wasn't. I'll just say he believed that. And he led me to believe that Edgar Casey was channeling, and I found a lot of indications to tie all that together, an aspect of the rock group. And when I say an aspect, the rock group is a group soul made of graduates of this realm. And that energy of that group, as I get it, stands out into many dimensions. In other words, it originates at a rather high level. I think in the raw terminology, it would be sixth density. Is that right, Jim?
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, those of you who are aware of this material know that the Ra group divides dimensions, and they call them densities, into eight densities. And the Ra group is perhaps hundreds of millions of individual souls that have been impacting this realm in a positive way since the beginning of recorded history and probably long before that. And but they stand out. They go from sixth dimension, some of them are in fifth dimension, some of them are in fourth dimension, and some of them are in third dimension. We're in now. Like I might be, and I don't have any validation of this, but I might be an aspect of the rock group in third dimension. And even though I'm part of the rock group, if that's true, I am still bound by the limitations of third dimension. So the raw material became very important to me in my initial study, and it actually continues to be important. It is so deep and so profound that you can read it many times, if I can, and every time I read it, I get more out of it. And some people read it and they scratch their heads and say, I don't understand the thing because it's deep. And Carla, who was the channel, and I were reconnected in a really great way. And she came into our Sunday calls for probably 4 years and was kind of my co-host. And everybody loved her. And we had a great rapport. And of course, she passed. She passed, I guess, last year. And we miss her. But Jim has lived with her ever since the original Ra sessions took place. And he's carrying the torch of being an emissary for that material into the world. And it's actually 5 books which are available on Amazon and available at the website of LL Research. And there are free downloads of all the materials from LL Research on their website, llresearch.org. including the 5 books of the raw material. So if you are one of those people that wants to know how everything works at the deepest level that's ever, I think, been presented in this realm, the raw material is it. And you can go to Amazon, you read some of the reviews, and you'll see it. What did somebody say? It knocked my socks off. So, Jim, just for the people that are coming in and are familiar with your work and the raw material work, tell us a little bit how it started and what you felt when it was starting.
Well, I had just joined Don and Carla in December of 1980. They'd been together for 12 years and been working on the UFO phenomenon and channeling in general. And Carla had been channeling herself for 7 years at that point. So I'd helped them move to that location where we had the raw contact, and we got to know each other fairly well, and they invited me to join them. So in December of 1980, I joined them, and we thought that the first thing we'd do is be rework their book, Secrets of the UFO, and I started taking notes on that. But then 3 weeks after I got there, Carl was teaching an advanced student how to channel. There was they always had their channelings on Sunday evenings, so this is one of the Sunday evening channeling sessions, and all of a sudden she went into a trance, and she'd only been in trance twice before, and that was to channel the friend who had passed that previous November to let her husband know she was okay. They'd made a deal with each other that she would channel through Carla and tell Tom that she was okay, and that happened. So Carla had two experiences with trance before the raw contact, and before that, she always channeled consciously. She knew she was channeling, but she could stop it at any time she wanted. But with raw contact, it was different. She went into a trance, and she left her body. And Ra was not in her body either. Ra used it kind of like you'd say at a distance. Like she was an instrument, literally an instrument, like a telephone. And began to, they gave their first little sermonette. They only said, you know, gave a sermonette once. They said, this is where we're from, and this is what we're here for, and we wish to be of service. But the only way we will actually speak to you is through questions and answers. We don't feel we have a right to give you information without you asking for it. So after that first session, we decided that this was something of another level of information that we'd never seen before, so we dedicated one room in the house to just having the raw sessions and began having them there, and Ra gave us a special ritual called Walking the Circle of One that would be a special protection for Carla while she was in trance and would be a trigger to Don and me to let us know subconsciously and consciously a session was about to occur so we could give our best energies to it. And then we'd always have questions lined up, ready to go. And frequently, we'd only get through one or two of the questions, and Ra's answer would be so illuminating and go off in another direction that we'd go in that direction. So the first book tended to be a little bit scattered in that, well, number one, Don had been investigating UFOs for about 25 years up to that point. So he had a lot of puzzle pieces, and he wanted to put the whole puzzle together. So he started asking these questions that, for him, put the puzzle together. So that's really how it started. It started when Carla was teaching another student how to channel. And curiously enough, I wasn't there at that time. I was shopping at the grocery store, and I walked in the door and interrupted the first raw session right where it says, Don asks, well, tell us about the earth changes that are occurring on the planet now. And Ra says, we must deepen this instrument's state, because I'd walked in the door and interrupted the first raw session.
So she managed to get back into her state after that, right?
Right.
And she went into this trance while she was teaching someone else. Like no one was trying to get her to channel or something when that occurred, right?
Right. It was just her and Don and Leonard, the fellow learning how to channel.
Mm-hmm.
She always had to have three people to provide the proper protection and vibrations to get the best information. So they had the three people and just inadvertently went into this trance. But apparently, you know, things had been planned beforehand. Ra mentioned that her two experiences of trance had helped the trance to occur for their contact. And as Ra had said so many times, there really are no mistakes. And apparently we had planned that before the incarnation, and that was the way it was supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we were talking about yesterday, and I feel that we're living in this very transitional time, and there's still all kinds of potential outcomes. You know, some people say we're moving into a new world, that everyone on the earth is going to transform into this new world, and just sit and hold on to your seats and ride out. And other people are saying, well, Jesus is coming back, and that just sit in your chair till Jesus comes back. And other people are saying the world's going to fall apart, and we don't have resources, financial system is on the edge. So there's all these potential outcomes. And from my sources, I'm not getting that. They're saying this is the outcome that's locked in stone. They're saying it's still being reconstructed moment by moment, and it's part of the reconstruction is the consciousness of the people on planet Earth and the number of people that are asking or reaching for the higher realms. And they don't have to know about the Ra group or the Elohim group, but they can use God, and that's okay. They don't have to get all the details correct. They just have to have pure heart in reaching for help, reaching for connection, and staying out of fear, because fear disables one from having the ability to project their reach into higher realms. And, of course, there's a lot of reasons that one could go into fear right now, given what's going on our planet. Jim, before, how does that sound to you? Does that sound close to how you feel?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole lot in flux yet because it's all a product of free will, and the population of this planet can change its thinking in an instant. I mean, at one point, Ra said, could your people polarize positively in one fine, strong moment of inspiration? It is not probable, but it is ever possible. They said that actually the harvest began somewhere shortly after, right before World War II, that it could take anywhere from 100 to 700 years, depending upon the choices that made by the people of the planet. So the harvest is going on right now, the graduation. Some people don't like the word harvest. So the graduation to the fourth density is actually going on right now. And it could take longer or shorter, as I said, depending upon the choices the people of the planet make.
Mm-hmm. My take is, when you talk about the graduation or harvest, it brings up images that of rapture. People are suddenly going to leave and find themselves in this lovey-dovey place. And my experience is that's not exactly the way it's going to work. That going into fourth density, you can do it right while you're in a body, right now. And it's like you start creating relationships with other people that are far more loving, and you build a community. It's one of the visions I had which caused me to do what I'm doing and dedicate my life in this way, because we're building kind of a fourth dimensional community in our group. Now, I may be wrong, but I do know that people are loving each other. They're going through transformations. They're not all perfect by any means, but it's hard to find that in the rest of the world. Probably one place you might find it is in the community that is around LL Research. So just checking, does that match your idea?
Yeah, Ross suggested that graduation, is, as you say, concerns the ability to give and receive love. And if you're able in all of your thoughts, words, and deeds to produce love 51% of the time, just 51% of the time, then you're able to be graduated, able to be harvested.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's really not that difficult, but it's something that you have to concentrate on so that you don't, so that you're aware of it when you're conducting your life in a conscious fashion, that you're really trying mm-hmm. to give and receive love. It's important to be able to do both, because it's a balanced action. And when we go through the death process, the so-called death process, the transition into the higher density, that there's a light, a density of light that we go to that measures our ability to give and receive love, so that we become light beings then after we leave the physical body here and form what Ra calls a social memory complex, which means basically every memory you've got in your life is available for use by the group, and all of their memories are available to you. It's a huge library of information, so that in your own future, you can choose to be of service to others in vast ways that wouldn't be possible to you as an individual, because now you have a group memory.
Mm-hmm. So what brought me to the call yesterday? The specific thing in the Ra material had to do
with the way the Ra group talked about the Orion group, and that the Orion group was trying to enslave the population by connecting with the elite and using the elite as their methodology of enslaving or controlling everyone else. And that was very clear in the raw material, what they said on that. And I think when I first read that, I didn't understand it. But then you look at the elite now. You look at what is the elite? The elite is people with money, people in political power. People with religious influence can be the elite. Just because they're religious or they use the word religion and Christ does not mean they're not part of a negative influence on this planet and that they have an agenda. And I'm sure that's true. I'm sure of it at this point. And Jim, I wanted to have you share a little bit. Who are the Orions? Do they have bodies? Are they interdimensional? Do they have spaceships? Are they highly technology? What can you tell us about this Orion group that wants to enslave us?
Well, they're primarily fourth and fifth density entities from the densities of love and the density of wisdom. Their love, however, is different than our love. Their love is for themselves. They seek to control those about them and to take their power. So that it's basically like the army, and the armed services are a good example of a negative polarity where there's unquestioned power is the way it works. The privates don't question the generals. You know, the corporals don't question the sergeants. You do exactly what you're told. Basically, the Ryan Empire is set up the same way. And they attempt to gain power for themselves, and there's a struggle for power to determine who's on top. And once the ones on top has been determined, then they proceed with their opportunities to try to add to their empire. If they can generate enough fear and confusion on planet Earth, then those are conditions which help them to do what they wish to do. The reason it's called the Orion Empire is that the head of the group is in the Orion constellation, although many other constellations, such as the Southern Cross, are also members, but they are subjugated by the Orion group because the Orion is the most powerful. Ra suggests there are two valid paths to the Creator up to a point. And one is a positive path of service to others, and the other one is a negative path of service to self. Now, the service to self path only is valid up to a certain point. When they get to the mid-sixth density level where you have to balance love and wisdom and you have to see everyone else as the Creator and as yourself, then that's easy for the positive polarity. That's the way they get there. The negative polarity has a very great difficulty, which they've never been able to overcome. So by the time they get to mid-sixth density, they have to reverse their polarity. They can no longer go any further with the negative polarity. But up to that point, they are quite active, and they are part of the interplay of the positive and negative that provides catalyst for all of us to grow.
Mm-hmm. Like a negative. Someone's on a negative path. You can see how it works. If they're always trying to control and manipulate other people, they obviously are seeing others as the object of their manipulation rather than objects of co-creation and love.
Right. Their first primary activity is separation. They separate themselves from the rest of the creation, the rest of the people around them. They keep them at a distance, and that allows them to operate, shall we say, behind the scenes and to gain control, if possible, over entities that are usually unaware of their existence and the way they operate.
Mm-hmm. And are the Orions connected with what's called the Reptilians? Have you ever made that connection?
I think there's a strong possibility. I mean, I think there are a number of emissaries of the Orion constellation and Orion group. They're here on planet Earth and have been for some time, and they're doing the bidding of the Orion group. And I think there are reptilians, and there are many others as well. The type of physical body the entities have is determined by how they evolved. You know, we evolved apparently from the great apes, so we are bipeds, and we look like we look.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, we're only make up about 5% of the creation. If you look at the rest of the creation, they evolved from other entities, and so the reptilians obviously evolved from the reptiles and don't look like us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in general, reptilians are considered to be service to self.
Right.
Yes. Although there may be some that have crossed over that, the majority of reptilians are service to self. Have you ever looked at the actual mechanics of the way the Orion group connects with those lower levels?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of information. Any group, say like a channeling group or any spiritually oriented group on the planet that's producing really good information and service to others, is producing a power on the inner realms of the metaphysical realms or the inner planes. That light is seen as a power, and the negative entities see that power, and they would like to get it for themselves. So they send their minions, the fourth density entities, to offer temptations to channels and to groups to move away from the pure spiritual path, how we evolve in mind, body, and spirit, and how we serve each other with love. And they try to get them to move away from that positive path and maybe begin aggrandizing themselves, puff up the pride or the ego, or to benefit financially or socially or politically somehow.
Mm.
The group we're in, and so many groups have been swayed away from the light in that way. That, but when they prevent the light from really being able to shine and present us darkness instead, then they've gained the power of that group.
And they can actually channel through that group. Yes.
Mixed contacts usually start. They start by imitating the positive contact, and then they start twisting it and putting a little barb here and there, and introducing a little concept of fear. Now, there's going to be some things happen. You got to be careful. You got to get out, you know, go into the woods, and be sure and take supplies, and arm yourselves to protect yourself from neighbors. You know, they start turning you toward the negative thinking. And the positively oriented channel, or the positively oriented contact that began channeling through the group, can only give you hints. They can't say, look, this is what's happening, because all the progress we make has to be a product of our free will choices, or it carries no weight in our total beingness. So the positive contact can only give clues or hints. And if those aren't found out and taken into advice, then the negative group continues to make their insinuation and eventually takes over the group and gives more and more negative information until the group eventually... usually what happens is they start making predictions about disasters and when they're going to happen, and they never happen when they say they're going to, so the group loses credibility and they fall apart in that way.
Well, I tell people to store food just in case they need it, okay? Store food and water. And some people might think that's a negative thing to do, but I think since anything is, you know, as I studied the raw material, and I look at the history of our solar system and our planet, there have been times, many times, where terrible disasters have happened. Probably in our solar system, the worst might have been Maldek, which was, of course, the rock group talked about, where the planet exploded and it became the asteroids, and it was a planet that was populated by billions of people, not so unlike our planet, I think, and that because of the way the planet exploded, I believe it was a nuclear explosion that caused it to fragment like that.
Right.
The souls on Maldek all glommed together in a tangled mass of fear. That's the quote from the raw material, how they described it. And they lost their individuation, and part of the raw group took it upon themselves to help separate that group. And it's not so easy once that occurs. It's like that they started moving the souls into embodiments on our planet. And I think they said the available bodies. But I don't know if they said, did they say anything more than the available bodies?
No, at the beginning it was just the second density ape form.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to use, so they had to use second density bodies, but the entities were third density.
And also, they were working with entities and beings that were beneath the surface of the Earth, as I recall, okay? And in fact, as I recall, Bigfoot might have been a product of that transmigration of souls.
Right, right. There are three different types of Bigfoot, and each was a different aspect of the Maldek group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And did this happen with Mars as well?
Mars had enough warfare that they made their atmosphere inhospitable to human life, so they were the first ones actually transferred here by the entities known as Yahweh 75,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some cloning process that went on so that there was a change in their DNA so that they would be perhaps more liable to express love and light in their incarnational patterns. So they were the first ones here, and then the entities from Maldek, as they became able to assume third-density bodies, they also incarnated. And there were, I think, almost 2 billion that incarnated from Maldek to Earth, from Maldek, yeah.
When Maldek exploded, according to the raw material, there was not a single entity that escaped this glomming together. Am I right?
Right. There was no distinction made between victim and aggressor before they even could be reached by Confederation sources, positive entities, to, as you say, to be separated and to once again realize they were conscious, that they were beings, and to begin to look at what they had done and to try to make retribution for it here on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. You know, Terry, are you on the line? Where is Terry?
She is. Hold on.
Terry, unmute.
I'm here. Yes.
Okay. You know, I thought I'd let Terry say something because she has an interesting part of this puzzle that I have been observing for years, and I've known Terry for 30 years, and I used to think this can't be real, some of the stuff she was saying, but now I do believe it's real, and that a part of Terry is not on this realm. It's in other realms. I think part of all of us is in other realms, even though we don't know it. But Terry has the ability to know it, and I think Carla had that same ability. Because, for example, you're probably aware of this. I don't know if you are aware, on our calls at one point, Carla was acting as an interface with discarnate souls, and I'm not sure what level they were from. They may have been just discarnated humans, but they wanted to be of service, and they were using Carla, and Carla, we did this for a couple of months and then we stopped, but it was a very fascinating process because Carla would be assigning some of these entities to people on our call who made the request to be like an angelic support system for them. Were you aware of that aspect of Carla, Jim?
Yeah, she had this angelic host around her that really wanted to be assigned to people to help them out.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I was bringing Terry into it is because Terry is having this experience of working in other realms with tangled masses of souls. and they're glommed into her matrix in a certain way. And she'll spend time communing with them individually and releasing them. And Terry, do you want to share that experience?
Well, apparently in Mesopotamia, there was a nuclear explosion. And earlier on, in the same city, there was a nuclear explosion. And the people that were living in the city experienced the explosion, and it damaged them so that they were, their light bodies were damaged, and they couldn't tell where they started and others ended, and it just became all like a mass. But the people are still themselves, but they aren't able to strike out and separate themselves from what happened. Everything changed so fast, just faster than a being who was caught in it could track it, and it just disabled them. It stripped their light body of energy, and they couldn't tell where they stopped and something else started. And they just stayed for millions of years, or thousands of years, just not able to work themselves out of their dilemma. Or most of them just went to sleep because they couldn't track it. And so I've been going in and spotting them and getting them to tell what happened just before the nuclear explosion and what happened during the nuclear explosion. For instance, one of them was a teacher and was teaching a class of about 15 students when it happened. And the fire broke through the room and it broke her arm, and blew everything to bits, people to bits, and it just drove them into complete unconsciousness. And they're still there, and they can express, if they can individuate enough to express what happened, they can begin to be released and to have another life. And it's really sad to try to work with them. They're just mainly unconscious.
Jim, did you ever hear of anybody that had an experience like that?
Well, Ross said that after the bombs were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that the power of the energy release was of such a magnitude that it could disarrange the mind-body-spirit complex so that the entity was no longer an entity. So Ra was given permission to help the healing process, because if that had been allowed to go on, it would have been a loss to the creator, a part of the creator. So those entities from Nagasaki and Hiroshima are now in this healing process. They've actually just begun it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I've taken a look at that, and if a person's in the bomb blast and they may be injured, but they're still with a complete whole within their mind-body complex, then they can heal from it easier. But if they were in the place that just evaporated and went up in the sky, it's very, very hard. I can tell that the higher forces are attempting to work with them, but it's very, very hard to get their attention.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, when you hear these stories, when I hear them, and then, of course, we have stories of the Holocaust in Germany. We have the stories of Atlantis going down, and we have the story of another continent, Lumeria, going down. And, you know, entirely in the history of our planet, there have been many times where there have been nuclear incidents, even before recorded history, which probably started about, how long have we had recorded history? 20,000 years or something? 25,000 years? There have been times when all of the population was destroyed in a flood, or a good portion of it. And it's very interesting. This is something I learned and read about in Edgar Cayce years ago. I don't know if Jim is aware of this. Did you ever study Edgar Cayce, Jim?
Not very much, but no. I've become somewhat familiar with him since he's another Kentucky Channel.
Okay. Well, Edgar Cayce was talking about Atlantis, and he was talking about there were two groups in Atlantis. One of them was called the Children of the Law of One, and the other one was called the Sons of Belial. And I take the Children of the Law of One were connected to the rock group. There's no other indication other than the Law of One, which is the moniker of the rock group, and that when Atlantis was going down, there was the Children of the Law of One were aware that this was going to happen, and many of them left Atlantis and went to Egypt, and others went to South America, I believe. And, of course, the way the story goes is there was an early incarnation of Edgar Cayce by the name of Ra-Ta in Egypt, who was also aware of this whole thing, and he was welcoming these Atlantean refugees. And, I had made, when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I had been a student of the Cayce material, there was something in the Carter Rucker work, the Law of One work, which kind of blew my mind. In fact, it's why I went to Laughlin, because I wanted to look Carla in the eye and ask about this, because in the Edgar Cayce work, this entity, Ra-Ta, which was approximately 10,000 years ago in Egypt, was doing these miracles of healing and built the pyramids by levitation. That's in the Edgar Cayce work. And in the Law of One work of LL Research, the Ra group says, we came across an entity in Egypt
that we had an affinity with. And we actually worked with that entity very closely, and we manifested bodies that people could see, and we built the pyramids by levitation. And I read that, and I said, they got to be referring to this early life of Edgar Cayce. And in the Edgar Cayce material, this Edgar Cayce previous life as Ra-Sa became known as Ra the Sun God, okay? And I studied it really carefully because there were times when the Ra-Sa, through the Edgar Cayce readings, they were talking about Ra being separate from Edgar Cayce. But it was hard to figure it out. It was just fleeting. But I put those things together, and I said they have to be talking about the same incident. It was the same time period, and it was the building of the pyramids by levitation. And I put together that it's one of the things that absolutely convinced me that Edgar Cayce was connecting with the Ra group, and that he was very likely channeling an aspect of the Ra group. And it would make sense, because if the Ra group had thousands or a thousand incarnations in this realm, they would have known all these healing modalities through some of their lifetimes here, and they were able to bring that through Edgar Cayce. And you never heard that before, did you, Jim?
Not put together just like that, but I can see how it makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like, that's why I went to Laughlin, because I had come across that, and I don't think I was resolved yet to write the book on Wilcock. And it's probably that one thing in the Cayce material and in the Ra material that was tying Ra into all of this stuff. Although they never said that. They never talked about specifically being the source of Edgar Cayce. But they probably wouldn't have done that, because it would have been one of those things that violated the law of confusion. Okay? And but the clues were there. But in any case, yesterday, this is where the tire meets the road. We're looking at this idea that there's an Orion group that's influencing the elite, and I was relating it to the election that's occurring. I do believe that our government has been involved in secret organizations, occult organizations that are being influenced by reptilians and God knows who else, which is under the influence of the Orion group. And that one of the things about that is being a trickster. And this is where I get myself in trouble, because people that are listening to our calls, some of them are for this candidate and some of them are for the other candidate. And on a human level, both candidates are fairly defective. But I came to the conclusion that the female one is more under the influence of the Orion group than the male one. And of course, now I can get people really mad at me, because they're passionately in support of Hillary. And so I don't want to, please don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. If you're following our work and you happen to be passionately supportive of Hillary, I might be right, I might be wrong, but it's not a reason to abandon our work, okay? The work we're doing. But, Jim, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of interesting things here, Ryan Group and negative polarity and conspiracies and so forth. I want to bring us back home to the basic fact that everything is made out of the one infinite creator by the creator, so the creator could know itself better. Everybody that exists is making choices to help the creator to know itself. All of this we're experiencing here in third density is an illusion. It isn't anything other than the one creator knowing itself. So the bottom line is all is well. Now, we have a part to play here, and whatever we can do to share the love and light of the creator will help everybody out. But yes, the basic thing is everything is the creator. There is nothing but the creator.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a very interesting thing in the raw material, as I recall. Let's see if I get this right. That part of the negative, what we call the negative or service to self, was implemented. Okay, let's look at the goal of life.
We're about to get off the air.
John said, pardon me,
I said we are about to get off the air.
I think he's going to let us go a little bit, okay, because he said he would, okay? So I'll assume that he is. He said, you know, take a couple minutes after the hour, because they were late coming in. And,
yeah, God, yes, absolutely.
Catch my thoughts here. That most of us think the goal of life is to be happy and to be successful and to have fun. And from the higher realms, the goal of life, if you adopt this, and you don't have to, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be happy and you shouldn't have fun. You should. But there's an overriding thing that has to do with your personal evolution, your evolution back to higher densities, and that we each have a potential to lift our consciousness from where we are to a greater awareness. And as you do that, you become closer to Source, to the one infinite creator. And that there were periods of, maybe not in our solar system, but there were planetary systems where there was no negative. Everything was positive, positively polarized. And people were having a great time. And according to the Ra groups, in those systems, the evolution of people back to the source was extremely, extremely slow. And there was no challenge. And it is the mixture of positive and negative in this realm that creates the thrust for us to advance. Now, am I saying that correctly, Jim?
Yeah, the positive-oriented entities had no real reason to try to evolve because everybody saw each other as the creator, and nobody was more the creator than anyone else. So there's no reason to really do anything more than what you were already doing. So it took a long time to get out of third density to make the choice of service.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. We're almost finished that. That's a good place to end it. We're going to end this and go over to Whole Planet Healing. Are you there? Why don't I hear anybody?
Hello?
There you go. I hear you. Okay.
Hello?
Thank you from Seattle.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, right, Cecil.
Happy trails.
Thank you.
All right.
WholePlanetHealing.com.